Have you ever heard of wisdom literature? It might sound like something you'd find in a dusty old library, but it's surprisingly relevant to our lives today.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we're taking a deep dive into the book of James today, a part of the Bible that's packed with practical advice.
It is.
Yeah, it's not a story or a biography, but more like a collection of teachings, almost like a guidebook for navigating the ups and downs of life.
We're doing a kind of book survey today, getting a bird's eye view before we zoom in on the details.
You know, a lot of people skip over James because they think it's too simple or straightforward.
Right.
But what's fascinating is that the structure is actually quite complex
Oh, really?
and debated among scholars. There's no single agreed-upon way to understand how it all fits together, which makes it even more intriguing.
That makes it sound more like a puzzle than a dusty old book.
A little bit, yeah. And speaking of intriguing, one thing that stood out to me was how James is like a musical overture introducing these big themes in chapter one that play out throughout the whole book. What are some of those themes we should be listening for as we read?
Well, right off the bat, James throws out themes like wisdom, wealth, faith and action, taming the tongue, social justice, suffering, and prayer.
Wow, that's a lot.
Each of these gets a deeper dive in later chapters. For example, he touches on wisdom in chapter one, but really unpacks it in chapter three.
I see.
But the thread that really ties everything together is this idea of friendship with God versus friendship with the world.
Okay, I have to admit that phrase friendship with the world threw me off a bit. What does that actually look like in our everyday lives?
Think about it this way. Are you constantly chasing the latest trends, worried about what others think? Or are you focused on deeper values? That's the kind of contrast James is getting at. This two ways concept was actually common in ancient wisdom literature. The idea is that you're on one path or the other, and your choices reflect which path you're on.
So it's about figuring out where our allegiance truly lies, right? And it sounds like James is pretty direct about how our beliefs should impact our actions. Earlier, you mentioned something called the hortatory pattern in James. Can you explain what that means without getting too scholarly on us?
You got it. James is all about walking the walk, not just talking the talk. He constantly reminds us to put our faith into action. So this hortatory pattern is basically a back and forth between commands like do this and theological statements like because of this truth. He's showing us that true faith isn't just about what we say we believe, but how we actually live our lives.
That's a good point. It's easy to get caught up in the intellectual side of faith and forget about the practical application. Now, speaking of challenges, it's interesting to consider who James was originally writing to. Is there any consensus on who his audience was?
Well, the greeting mentions the 12 tribes of the dispersion, which could refer to Jewish Christians scattered around the Roman Empire.
Okay.
But some scholars believe it could also be a metaphorical term, not a literal one.
So there's still some mystery surrounding the original audience. But regardless of who he was writing to, it seems like James was addressing some pretty specific challenges they were facing. Do any of those jump out at you?
Definitely. He seems to be addressing issues like persecution from the wealthy, internal conflicts within the early church, and the temptation to compromise their faith in the face of pressure.
Wow.
And what's remarkable is that those are challenges we still face today in different forms.
It's amazing how these ancient writings can still speak to us so directly, even centuries later. So, if James was offering practical advice to early Christians, what kind of wisdom nuggets can we as modern readers take away from his letter?
One of the most striking takeaways is James's emphasis on controlling our speech.
Okay.
He uses this vivid image of the tongue being like a fire capable of causing immense damage.
Ooh.
He's challenging us to be mindful of what we say and how our words impact others, which is especially relevant in today's world of social media, where it's so easy to spread negativity and gossip.
That's so true. It's easy to forget the power of our words, both for good and for bad. And it sounds like James isn't afraid to tackle other tough topics either.
Absolutely. He doesn't shy away from addressing issues like social justice, treating the poor fairly, and showing hospitality. He's basically laying out a blueprint for living an ethical and compassionate life.
I'm starting to see why some scholars call James the Proverbs of the New Testament. He packs a lot of practical wisdom into a relatively short letter.
He does.
Yeah, it really does feel like a guidebook for living a better life. But there's one thing that's been bugging me. You know how James says, faith without works is dead?
Right.
Some people say that contradicts what Paul says about salvation by faith alone. How do we make sense of those two seemingly different ideas?
You've hit on one of the most common questions people have about James.
Yeah.
It can seem like they're disagreeing, but I think it's more about emphasis. Paul is stressing that you can't earn your way into heaven by doing good deeds. Salvation is a gift from God.
Okay.
James, on the other hand, is focusing on how true faith naturally leads to good actions.
So it's not about earning our salvation, but about showing that our faith is real through what we do.
Exactly. Think of it like a tree and its fruit. You can't have one without the other. If your faith is genuine, it will show up in how you live your life.
Okay, I'm starting to see how those two perspectives fit together. But James doesn't stop there. He gets pretty specific about the kinds of actions that demonstrate true faith.
Yeah.
There's a lot about controlling our speech, treating the poor fairly, and showing hospitality. It's almost like he's giving us a checklist.
He's not giving us a checklist, but he is emphasizing the importance of putting our faith into action. And controlling our speech is a great example. Remember that image of the tongue being like a fire?
Yeah.
James is basically saying that our words have incredible power to build up or tear down.
Which is something we all need to be reminded of, especially in today's world where it's so easy to be careless with our words.
Yeah.
But it's not just about what we say, is it? James also talks a lot about how we treat others.
You're right. He's challenging us to examine our attitudes and actions toward everyone, especially those who are often marginalized or overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that our faith should impact how we interact with people from all walks of life.
And then there's that powerful line that keeps coming back to me. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. It's a stark reminder that we can't have it both ways. We have to choose where our ultimate allegiance lies.
It's a tough message.
Yeah.
But it's an important one. James is calling us to be intentional about what we prioritize in our lives.
Mm.
Are we chasing after worldly things, or are we seeking a deeper connection with something bigger than ourselves?
It's almost like he's asking us, what are you living for? And that's a question we all need to grapple with at some point.
Mm.
I have to say, I'm struck by how relevant these ideas feel even today, even though James was writing to people centuries ago. What do you think gives his words such staying power?
I think it's because James is tapping into fundamental human experiences that transcend time and culture. We all face trials, we all struggle with temptation, and we all wrestle with the challenge of living out our faith in a complex world. James doesn't offer easy answers, but he does offer guidance and encouragement for navigating those challenges.
And he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He gets straight to the point, which I appreciate. But as we start to wrap up our deep dive into James, what are some of the key takeaways you'd want to leave our listener with?
I think the most important takeaway is that true faith is active and visible. It's not just about what we believe in our heads or hearts. It's about how we live our lives. Our actions speak louder than our words.
So it's not a solo journey, right?
Yeah.
We need each other for support, guidance, and accountability.
You got it. James emphasizes the importance of community. We need each other to help us stay on track, to encourage us when we stumble, and to speak truth into our lives. He reminds us that we're not meant to go through this journey alone.
It's like that beautiful image at the end of James, the idea of bringing someone back from error and saving their soul from death. It speaks to the power of community and our responsibility to care for one another.
Yes, and that's what I love about that passage. It highlights the responsibility we have for each other to gently guide each other back when we stray, and to be open to being guided ourselves when we need it. It's a powerful call to compassion, humility, and genuine care for the well-being of others.
It's a beautiful picture of what it means to be part of a community of faith. And it brings to mind that passage in James 5:19-20, where he says, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." If James encourages us to help others find their way back, how are WD doing that in our own lives? Who are we guiding and who's guiding us?
That's such a powerful question to consider, isn't it? It reminds us that faith isn't just about our own personal connection with God, but about the ripple effect it has on those around us. It's a challenge to step up and be a source of guidance when we can, and to be humble enough to receive guidance when we need it.
It really is a two-way street, isn't it? We're all on this journey together, offering support and being supported. That's what makes this whole exploration of faith so enriching. So as we wrap up our deep dive into James, what's one final wisdom nugget you'd like to leave our listener with?
You know, out of all the practical advice James offers, the one that sticks with me the most is his call to be doers of the word, not just hearers. It's easy to nod along and agree with these teachings, but the real challenge is putting them into practice. James reminds us that true faith is lived out in our everyday choices and our interactions with others and in our commitment to making the world a better place.
This is about bridging the gap between belief and action, and that's a challenge we can all take to heart. So as you go about your day-to-day, think about how you can embody the wisdom of James. Maybe it's reaching out to someone who needs encouragement, choosing your words carefully, or simply taking a moment to pause and reflect on where your true allegiance lies. Remember, even small acts of kindness and faithfulness can have a ripple effect, creating a more just and compassionate world. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Book of James. Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep diving deep.